Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, what do we got on tap tonight? We've got Raised by Wolves, The 100, and Lovecraft Country. The ladies shall be along shortly, and then we'll jump right into things. And I think Jamie's got a couple things she wants to talk about also. Aside from the shows. So, that is our plan for this evening. And what else have I been doing and watching? Never mind. I have a co-host on the babble. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm good. Jamie? Is Jamie here yet?
Not yet.
In a second, I guess.
She should be here momentarily.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we have a bunch of stuff to discuss. Well, same three shows that we've been covering, I guess. Not a bunch, just three things.
Yep.
And you have stopped watching, what is that show called?
Raised
about
by
the Wolves.
Boredom,
Raised
yeah.
by Wolves.
Raised by Boredom.
Oh, my God. It is really boring. I watched three episodes to get caught up because we only covered one last week. So I had to watch last week's and two for this week. And it was really boring. Really boring. It is really slow.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And a bunch of, like, super crazy shit went on this week, which didn't even advance
the
story that much. No, it didn't help the boredom. And I'm like, all this crazy shit happened, and, like, nothing happened. Like, we're still no closer to knowing anything. But Jamie and I will, I guess, catch up on it when she gets here. And
yeah,
then,
she'll be here in a minute. I just noticed she sent a text right at 10 o'clock that she'd be here in a minute.
Okay. Well, then we have the 100.
Karen,
and
only two left. Only two left.
I know. I can hate watch two more episodes. I really am hate watching it. I mean, really, right? Aren't you hate watching
really
at this
am.
Point?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's upsetting because I remember the start of the season, you weren't as into it as I was. And I was like, you know what? It's the last season. I'm going to watch it for what it is, you know, and just go with the flow. But they refused to let me do that.
Yeah.
They just are like, you think you're just going to go with the flow? Ha ha, watch what we do.
We're going to make it impossible.
It's
We're going to make the flow so bad that you can't tolerate it.
It's really bad when you have a show that's called The 100, okay? And you start with 100 teenagers going to Earth, and then, you know, you get your main core, and by the end of the series, two people are still who they always were. Two.
Yeah.
Everybody else,
two.
Not who they were. But,
yeah.
Well, I digress. We'll talk about that later because here is Jamie.
Hey.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Good, I
okay.
hope.
Okay. Yeah, although
good.
I'm looking here, I thought this was... It was the 6 was the last one we were looking at, and it looks like there's a repeat for past that. Did you guys see past that, or did just you only watch the one and didn't tell me?
So it is up to episode 7 now, so I've watched up to episode 7, but we can call it episode 6. So last week was 4 and 5.
Six. I misunderstood, sorry.
Last week was 4 and 5, and we only talked about 4, so this week... We would have 5, and then so they're dropping 2 episodes on Thursdays. So 6 and 7 drop this week.
We can talk about 5 and 6 at least.
We can talk about
5.
Real quick,
so you haven't.
Real quick, before you two start talking about the episode, that sounds good. That doesn't bode well. I a show that is supposed to have 1 episode a week, and now they're dropping 2 all of a sudden. I get the feeling the ratings aren't too good, and. You guys might not have to worry about a season 2.
I think they were
just
dropping
from past
2
experience.
From the very beginning each week. Maybe I was wrong, but I thought they were supposed to do that from the beginning.
No, they did 3 the first week.
Right, but
then
they were doing
I thought they were going to do 1 every week after that, but I could be wrong. Maybe it was always 2, maybe it was not.
Yeah.
It felt like 16.
Especially something like HBO.
Yeah, it felt like I watched 15 hours of this show because it is so slow that so unbelievably slow.
It is slow. I still like it, though. I mean, not it's not my favorite show, but...
Okay. So tell me where you ended, because I watched what I thought really brought us to a new low on this program, but I'm not sure if you're up to that yet. So what happens up through the end of episode 6?
Episode 6 is with her finding out how she was really made and what she was really made for, and you find out that it seems like she does have some of her own thoughts and free will, I guess you'd say, and then also the guy, Marcus, sends his kid back in and he steals her eyes, and that
was,
I think, the end of it.
Okay, so the next hour is really horrible.
Okay, so wait, let's talk about, I want to first talk about episode 5 a second, just because
sure.
I had wanted to last week, I was starting to talk about it, and then you're like, wait, that's too far.
The guy with the bucket
when
head.
When I watched 5, when I watched that, I remember I started to say last week about when he had sex with his wife and that crazy vision and him imagining he's killing her and all this crap. That was just weird.
Marcus has
–
Marcus – so that I thought was some really piss-poor – right? So really right before that happens, Sue says to Marcus, she says – he's talking about like – she's talking about him being a good man. And she says, you're a good man. Now make love to me like a great man. Oh, my God, that's like seventh grade level of writing. That was horrible. And then they go on to have, like, some pretty boring, like, white bread kind of, it's not even like a great sex scene. I'm like, really? That's what you think is making love to you like a great man?
I don't know about that.
I know, but it was some pretty, I'm sorry for this woman is stuck having this kind of sex for the rest of her life.
That's what you got out of that scene. That's funny.
But, yeah, he hallucinates that he kills her while they're having sex.
Yeah, and that's where it starts to get strange, because he's still hearing these voices, and now he's hearing, it makes it sound like the voice is telling him to kill her, and I guess that's like that other guy was saying, it told him to rape somebody, and I don't know. It was just got a little strange in there. But I'm curious, I believe it's that episode where they go to the caves, isn't it? Because we didn't talk about that.
They find
the quote-unquote map, and that somebody has been following them around, and we don't know who it is yet.
Yeah. But we've seen that person before. We knew there was a person skulking around. We just didn't know who it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you also finally get, by watching these two episodes, that Tally isn't alive, right? Because you guys kept saying she was alive, and I was like,
I don't know if I'm supposed to think I still don't know if I'm supposed to think she's alive or not. I mean, I don't know.
I definitely didn't think she was alive. I thought that it was either, I can't remember now, but it was either her memories coming out or something. But I definitely did not think that it was supposed to be their daughter was alive. But I thought, you know, you guys were saying that, so I let you have your theory and thought maybe I misunderstood it, but I didn't take it that way at any rate.
I mean, so here's part of what I object to with this show, that, you know, so it was a show about, like, robots and atheists and humanity and atheists and religious people, and, like, so there's this whole thing of like, the androids and what does it mean to be human as a theme. Then there's the, like, anti-religion kind of theme. Now it seems to be veering into, then there was, like, these people having, like, is God speaking to them, the voice that they hear. Then, like, I don't know, some of it is veering kind of into magic and supernatural stuff with, like, some of these visions and Tally running around and, you know... I just feel like it's a big mishmash mess of, like, all kinds of, like, themes and bits of different show. Like, I don't even know what the hell is going on, and not in a good way. Like, don't you feel like I got a sense that it was veering a little bit into supernatural kind of stuff more than religious kind of stuff with the voices? And, like, all these random plot threads about the creatures and camping is like a devoted vegetarian who refuses to eat anything he has to kill. Like, where did that come from? Like, there's just so much going on that they're just throwing and not adequately exploring, right?
Yeah. I think the main part, at least, that I got out of the last episode at any rate, was, like, the explanation of how he created her and why, and that she does have memories of that. And I think that she does have sort of free will in her own thoughts. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't say it all makes sense.
I thought they devoted an awful lot of time to her backstory that I didn't really care about or wasn't interested in. Like I knew that someone created her for this purpose, and I was fine with that, and I didn't really need to see almost an entire hour. It felt like 4 hours devoted to, like, him rebuilding this robot, and I really object to so much. I really wasn't into the way she appears to be falling for him by the end of the episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, don't take away my memories of you, and, you know, and he's like, whatever, I'll turn you off. I feel like these two androids are emotionless except when the story needs them to feel an emotion. Didn't we say that last week? AJ may have said that last week, or you might have said it, Jamie.
I think that sometimes they have their own emotions. You were the one that said you didn't buy that. So I don't know. But I was also going by this episode, the last episode, or sixth episode, too. So
I mean, she did appear to be sort of, like, having, like, feelings for him, right? So Campion Sturgis is the man who created her to save the Earth, and now we know why Campion is named. But she does, you know, she's so like, no, don't take away my memories of you. And she's very like, she's emotional at that moment, right?
Yeah, which is dangerous, but yeah.
And what's worse is, like, he weirdly is also, because, like, he's a brilliant, like, hacker or whatever.
Yes, but he
builder.
Also seems to be in love with her, which is a little strange. But
I know, right? The whole thing is a little strange. I personally was not wondering about her backstory. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I wonder who created her and why. So maybe it's going to be important going forward. Maybe they gave that all to us for a reason. Right?
Yeah, you guys have seen as far as I have now. So actually further.
So they don't just drop it. Like, they pick it up again the next week is all I'll say. So thank God they didn't just drop it and give us that backstory for, like, kind of no reason, right?
Right,
There's more to that. But I am liking Marcus less and less also. Like, 2 weeks ago I said that he was the only character I cared about, and now he's, like, becoming a total dick, right? Now that he became your eminence and he's kind of into it. Like, are you liking him less?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the only thing I was going to say is the one part that I think is interesting, though, is that he's told to let her live and that he does. But obviously he was told to kill his wife, and so who knows?
But he didn't hear a voice saying kill her. Like, he had that visual hallucination, but he didn't hear a voice saying kill Susan the way he heard a voice saying let her live when he was going to destroy her.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Although, I don't know, it could just be they didn't show us exactly what he heard. I don't know, because a lot of that was more, like, visual, I feel like, the last time. I don't know that necessarily he didn't hear that, or he did, they really didn't say. But I thought it was interesting how he didn't kill her in that sense. But what I didn't like is that I felt like they've started to make the android sympathetic, and I didn't know that I liked like, their kid going out and finally just, like, totally betraying her, because the kids seemed to, like, actually care somewhat for them, and I think that this episode, too, really showed that they were horrible. Like, that one kid that told his people where father was so they'd kill him, I thought that was sad, and, I was mad at that kid. It's like, they've taken care of them, and I know they're not per se human, but I feel like they've shown that maybe they have some real emotions, and I don't know that these kids are just as bad as everybody else, so I don't know. It's definitely weird.
I feel it's unrealistic that the children like her, because she killed like a couple thousand people
That's
to kidnap these five children, right? And it was only like less than a week ago, right? It's not like she's been raising them for.
It's hard to remember that, like, it's not. The timelines are different. You're right. She killed all these people, but I guess she, like, protected
them. It's been a matter of days.
They didn't care at all. I don't know. But you're
It's been like a matter of days since she killed everyone. I mean, the wreckage is still practically smoldering, right? It's been a matter of days that I believe that they've been caring for them. I mean, it is not any significant passage of time because Tempest's pregnancy is still not showing.
That's true.
I believe it's been days. Because there's nothing they can eat. The first food that they could eat on the planet was the creature. Did you see that part yet, when they eat the creature?
Yeah, that
or
was
that in the upcoming...
like 2 episodes ago, I think.
Okay.
When it was pregnant and everything. Yeah, we saw that.
And then they eat the meat. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I think, I really think it's been like less than a week that they're living with mother and father. So I find it hard to believe that these children would be coming to feel like they're their parents.
No, I didn't mean it just that way. I just meant like I felt like maybe they should have had a little bit of loyalty to them, at least not to want to watch them die and suffer. Like, yes, they should want to get away from them, but I don't know. I just didn't like how the one kid's like, oh, he's over here. But at the same time, I understand it.
They can't die and suffer. They're robots.
Well, I still think that they feel, though. I think that's kind of the point of the show. And the point of her backstory is that they're not completely unfeeling. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. But
I mean, I think the show is trying to ask that, like, what makes somebody human. I don't feel like – I feel like they're not doing a good job of it yet. AJ would have been pleased to see – the large amount of milky white substance that has appeared in the last couple of episodes.
That was just gross.
When it pours, like, in the hallucination,
blood,
when
maybe.
It pours everywhere,
it
yeah.
It definitely wasn't made to make the scene feel like that, so, yeah.
Well, in the scene where Paul gets away and then goes back in, there's a lot of, like, shooting and a lot of milky white substance, right?
That too, yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was kind of realistic. I know that, you know, Susan is the better parent. I mean, they both love Paul in their way that they developed in 13 years in cryo,
but he made him go back and do that when he didn't want to. Yeah.
Well, the kid said, I'll do it. The kid did say, I'll do it. Like, it's
no,
not clear
I know, but
to me that he didn't want to.
Pushed them at the same time.
Yes,
the
he did.
Like,
the mother, right. But it was a good plan. It was the right call. It was the right play.
It was. It was also dangerous, I feel like, to send him back in. But, yeah.
It was,
I mean,
but they have to get her eyes. She can turn you into a bloody mist with her scream. Like, they have to get her eyes. He was right,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and it was the best way to do
away.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked perfectly. And the kid really wasn't ever, like, mother will never hurt that kid. She'll never hurt the children.
Yeah, we hope.
The kid, I think the kid was never really in danger from mother.
That's
She's
true,
not going to hurt the kids. You know, I feel like Tempest is more realistic, like the way they show, and I feel it's kind of jarring, like the way she hates mother so much, I think is realistic for a person that was kidnapped 5 days ago. And, you know, also she's being forced to, so there's a scene. So I don't know if it was in the 6th episode or if it occurs in the 7th, and this is not a spoiler, but there's a scene. So if it's in the 7th, I apologize. But she says to mother, I'm just an incubator to you.
That was, I think, in one. And she, the mother sort of was going to maybe fix that machine so she didn't have to have the baby, which I found was interesting. But the father didn't like
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
from either 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, yeah,
so
she shuts it. I'm just a walking
kind of
incubator.
Starting to listen. Yeah. Like it.
Yeah. I mean, she was raped by Buckethead. He looks like he has a bucket on his head, right?
Yeah, he does.
And he looks way Monty Python. Like, you know those guys in Holy Grail that have those helmets that look like a bucket?
Looks like
cut
buckets,
out the front?
Yeah.
Yes.
More Monty Python, you're right.
Yeah, so Buckethead, it's the most ridiculous form of restraint ever. It's a bucket. I don't know why it has the spikes sticking out of it, because I feel like they are more likely to injure people around him than to have anything to do with, like,
that's
restraining
true.
Him, right? Right? They, I'm always like, oh, he's going to poke someone with his bucket head. Yes. And then there's a robot that has to be within 10 feet of him or he'll blow up. Like, what? Why is a robot, like, the android has to stay, like, the whole thing is kind of cuckoo system
yep.
of restraining this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess there will be a moment where his bucket will come off his head and maybe he'll be like a big actor or someone, or maybe like, oh, it's you, right? Like,
I don't know. Or it could just be a blow up at some point.
Know.
We'll never find out.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's a big reveal under there. So that guy says that Sol told him to, like, rape these women while they were in cryo, right? But upon further questioning, it, like, you know, Marcus asks him, were you a rapist before? Or did you only become a rapist when, like, God told you to be a rapist? And he says this, the guy says something like, oh, I always, like, took what I wanted, or I always, like, he makes some remark indicating that he was not a good person necessarily before.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I can tell you they don't take his bucket off in episode 7 either. I still don't know who that guy is. and he didn't poke anybody's eye out with his points on his bucket yet.
Okay.
So I don't know. I did feel it was very, I felt in particular the flashback to Mother being created was very, very slow. Did you see the scene with her and the baby?
When she killed it. Or it wasn't really a baby.
Yeah, I knew she was going to kill that baby. I knew she was going to kill that baby. So thank God it turned out to be a robot baby, an android baby. I know androids, like, get offended when you call them. I keep thinking of when we used to watch Dark Matter, and 3 used to always call the android a robot, and she was like, I'm an android, not a robot. So it was, like, always offensive to call her
that
robot.
That was a better show. But that's neither here nor there.
It was a better show.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I got to get back into watching it, because it's been so long now since I've seen it, because I watched them all at the beginning.
I'm sure
much slower when you're watching them every week, though.
Well, I mean, I watched 3 in a row today. I watched 3 hours of it today.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, this feels like 12 hours of TV.
All 6 before they premiered, so...
Yeah.
It's been quite a while. I got to get back to it.
It's slow. That flashback was so slow.
I don't remember really minding that, the episode of the whole flashback and finding that stuff out. I thought that stuff was somewhat interesting in the scheme of the whole show. I mean, the whole show in general is slow.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't know. I want to see what happens, but it's like I'm further away from it now. You know,
yeah.
And when you watch, I said before, when you watch all at once, it makes a big difference. It feels a lot faster.
Well, so I don't know. Like I mentioned, I don't know if you really remember as much. I mean, you did say that, you know, you kind of agree that Marcus is becoming a jerk. Marcus is really becoming a jerk since he's become Your Eminence. He's only been Your Eminence for like 24 hours, and he's already like.
At least he's
also
not making him carry him though.
Yes, he's on camera. He's going to totally sleep with that girl who's throwing herself at him. That girl, Cassia, who's always like, hi,
Your
Eminence. He's totally going to sleep with her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like being way telegraphed.
Seems a given.
Yeah, I'm not liking him, and I'm starting to like his wife better just because she is clearly long-suffering now. Oh, by the way, I did wish AJ could have seen the flashback because Mother had a mullet. Apparently, everyone had a mullet at the end of the world.
I know, that was funny.
Right?
So dumb, but funny.
She had a mullet before she got reprogrammed. So,
yeah,
like, everyone, apparently, mullet was the style right before the end of the world. Everyone's
not
got
that
a form of a mullet.
Well, I guess it wouldn't grow out. I was going to say, I thought for a while, like, it was like her hair had been growing, but she wasn't real, so her hair wouldn't grow. So that was a dumb thing to even say. Forget
right.
I said that.
Yeah.
Pretend I didn't.
Yeah. And it was shaved on the sides, like Sue's and other people's. Yeah.
Shaved it
all. So it's only 10 episodes?
I believe so.
So
I'm not sure if they're
going to
have 2 next week or 3 next week or 1 and 2.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh my God!
Out,
you have I cannot wait for you to see episode 7 now because, like, there's a bunch of crazy shit that happened that I watched and I was like, "What the hell did I just what?" Like, we need to talk about episode 7 after you see it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, or I would have watched it. That's why
which is another terrible and slow hour of television. But there's all this crazy android stuff going on. I look forward to you seeing it, and we can talk about whether you think it's horrible or not. All right.
Okay, AJ, do you have anything to add? You've been awful quiet.
He hasn't watched. He's done. He stopped watching
oh,
it.
Oh, he didn't watch it. I'm sorry. I think I came in a couple minutes after you guys, so I might have missed that part.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then if you're not going to talk, since I haven't seen the rest of the stuff, I did want to comment about some other stuff before I disconnect.
Yeah.
Well, there was one thing I was going to say that just I forget what it was. But anyway, regardless of that,
yeah.
I was thinking it was whatever. Oh, that the Ratchet.
Oh, your Ratchet interview
was up. Yeah, that I never know how to say her name right. Christiane did. That is up if people want to read it. Unfortunately, we couldn't find out about getting permission to use the video, so it's just text for now. But
that is like big stars, Sharon Stone.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much the leads of it. Which it was a really good interview. I mean, I didn't see it, but I thought it was a good interview. Or a good, it was long. It's like 45 minutes. So, and I transcribed the whole thing. So it's all there.
Yeah.
And then I was just going to say for people who want to see it, today was the first half of the Walking Dead World Beyond press junket. And I got to hear from the ones who play the kids today. I don't know if, and I just want to say, because I'm not going to get into like a long review or anything, but I did watch the first two episodes of The World Beyond, and I saw the season finale of Walking Dead, and I saw the season premiere of Fear the Walking Dead so far. They sent one or two of that I haven't seen. I don't know if they edited the World Beyond from what they had before, because we had gotten it a long time ago, and then they delayed the show because of Corona and changing this, you know, the schedule and everything. So they took it off, and then we got two episodes back. I swear the premiere was at least two episodes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just the second time I liked it better. But I remember the first time thinking it was kind of slow, and I didn't feel that way this time. I actually liked it. I think it's kind of a different take because they're coming out of a place where they're relatively safe because they're like at a school. They're even having school and everything. But the place is relatively protected, and it's about them leaving that area. So it's definitely different, and it's, you know, with partially a younger cast. But I did enjoy that, and I'll have a full review of that up. But that, I believe, that's...
You didn't watch all that Walking Dead in one day, did you?
Actually, I think, yeah, I did. Well, I had seen World Beyond before, but I rewatched it because it had been so long since I seen it.
You must have needed serious drugs after
that. Well, it was only four episodes
that.
Of stuff. I mean, it wasn't...
I know. But it's so bad. Did you tell me... I thought you told me World Beyond was your least favorite of the three series.
Yes, of the three, the World Beyond, I would say, is my least favorite, but I still liked it. But that's what I was going to say, though, in general, and I'm talking overall, not like the part of Walking Dead that was, like, horrible. I'm talking, like, overall in the show in general, because the show's been better. It's better than when the show was bad. Definitely better than that. But I actually, that was what surprised me so much, is, and that's why I wanted to comment, is I watched the season 10. Season 10 finale. That is the end of that storyline, and I actually really, really liked the finale. I mean, I was surprised that I really liked it. I found it exciting. There were some good. I don't want to say things in a way that give anything away, but things that went down that were really cool. Actually, a lot happened. Some things came back around that I was surprised and had forgotten about. And everybody was just really, like, even Negan, like, I really like Negan in this episode. I'm like, since when, lately he's been written bad, but I don't know. I just thought that maybe it's been
one
a while.
Ever.
I don't know, but I thought the episode in general was good. I really enjoyed it. I did. Which, like I said, surprised me, but I really liked it, and I kind of liked how it's going. And then, Fear of the Walking Dead actually was not what I expected either. I mean, I liked that show, obviously, had been being better. It was really good too. I can't really say what that episode's about, but because we can't even put reviews about that up yet. But that was really good too. So I don't know. They're heading in at least a decent direction. I know at the end of the season when we had watched them, we were both of them really. We were kind of disappointed, but I liked where this was going. Now, granted, like a lot of times, I did not get to see, because I only watched the one, I did not get to see what's happening with everybody. So at least with Fear the Walking Dead, I only saw a small portion of what's going on.
Yeah.
But I think I insert fair to say that. But
I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like we've had this conversation before. Like, how many seasons have we been like, okay, that was decent, and then like 4 hours later we're like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, I do think The Walking Dead was better this last season. It was still not.
Yeah, there was way less Negan.
But it was better. Well, I never minded Negan as much as you did, but I don't know. I liked everybody in this episode. I just thought it was a good season finale, and I liked it. And we'll see how you feel. But
we'll see in a couple weeks.
If they stay like that, then that'll be good. But I guess we got to wait and see. But as I was saying, The World Beyond, I think, is a good series. I think people will like it. I was just kind of saying, like, out of the three, you know, in general, and also out of the episodes, I liked the other two better. But as I said, I also saw that premiere before, too, so it wasn't to me like I was watching a new show. I think that makes a difference, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as much like, wow, that's cool, because I'd already known it. So, but it was still fun. And then, anyway, the press junket for the rest of it is tomorrow, and all those interviews will be going up soon. And then also, if anybody's interested, because I can still take questions for it Thursday, I'm talking to Tyler Posey for his movie Alone. So that's another Zoom interview, so that'll be fun. And
okay,
there you go. And then there's some other stuff coming up pretty soon. But I just wanted to comment because I did really like them. I was surprised that I did, and I'll be putting this up eventually. All right. Well, I will get caught up on Raised by Wolves, and we'll find out how many are airing next week, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know if they're
going to. All right. Well, whatever airs, we'll text each other and we'll watch them all and be caught up, both of us. Okay.
All right.
Great.
Well, have a good night, both of you, if you're still listening, AJ.
I'm here, Jamie. Have a good night.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jimmy. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Excuse me. Excuse my cough. I don't know what that is.
Karen is a
pollen.
Karen is gluten for punishment.
I'm a gluten for punishment. I was out walking. I went to a museum today that's like an estate with gardens, and so I breathed a lot of pollen today while
fun.
I was walking around. So that might be where my cough is coming from. City people, we get out to the fields, and we're like, what is all this weird pollen that we're not used to?
It's reverse smog.
Yes. Like, why is the air so fresh out here? Okay, so we talk about the 100?
We have to.
We have to talk about it. There was one or two good scenes and then like 42 minutes of dreck, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that statement. Let's see if we both like the same scenes.
Okay. The only good parts were the scene between Indra and Octavia was good, I thought.
Yep.
And it felt authentic and earned. And about damn time they had that meeting. And I thought, Octavia facing Blood Reyna, like the fact that it's been 10 years, you know, Indra's like, it's been 10 years, you still haven't come to terms with it. I thought, it really made me think, like, almost no one else is freaked out about being in the bunker. So Nyla was. Nyla gets drunk because she also can't deal with being in there.
I think Nyla
everyone else
drunk because she can.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that was a good scene, and I thought it was nice for someone to... Oh, my God, what's going on? I thought it was nice for Indra to say, like, we were all Blood Reyna. Like, yeah, Octavia had... Like, we saw the flashback scene where Kane, you know, we didn't see it in this a couple seasons ago when we saw what went on in the bunker. Like, Kane and Abby were really sort of part of the cannibal, right? Like, they helped create Blood Reign in a way.
Abby created Blood Reign. That was
Abby's
fault.
Idea, right?
It was Abby's idea.
Oh, Kane was against it. Kane was against it, right? That's how Kane winds up in the pits in the end, Abby. But, you know, in the way that we've talked a lot about how Abby's sort of like the worst mother, the worst adult, all the adults were horrible. And like, there was never an adult in the room to be like, okay, maybe we shouldn't let a 15-year-old become our warlord, Blood Reyna boss. Right.
Yes.
And it was nice for Indra to sort of, you know, I mean, she didn't say all of that, but for her to say we were all Blood Reyna is a little bit, it was nice, I thought. So that was one good scene.
Yeah.
Can you name a second good scene?
And
oh, go ahead.
And
I'm sorry,
so,
comment,
the way that, I just want to say, the way the conversation started was classic. But Octavia says, you weren't my only teacher. And Indra's like, no, just the best. And that was
yeah.
one part of the conversation.
Yeah, that was great.
The other scene
because
they're
the two best characters on the show.
Yeah, was when Maddie told Clark off. It's about time somebody put Clark in her place. When Maddie went off on Clark and was like, you know, you didn't have to kill Bellamy. You know, everybody else was like, oh, it's okay that you killed Bellamy. And you know, Maddie was the only one to say, no, it's not okay that you killed Bellamy. You keep, you know, doing all these things for my benefit. I don't want you to do things for my benefit, you know. Like, enough already, you know. I like that. We've been complaining that Maddie is just a prop at this point, and she's not a real character. It was nice to finally see her actually be a person.
Yes, it was. I had a small problem that I don't want to say it ruined that for me, because maybe it didn't. Clark did need to hear that, but the part where they made Maddie a little bit too much of a whiny tween, and she's like, I had a life. Picasso was there. I'm like, wait, you're mad because you're away from your dog. Like, you were the commander. Wow. You were, like, Maddie's been through so much, including, like, Prime Fire, being the commander, like, all the shit has gone down, and they made her a little bit of a whiny brat, you know, a little bit like, my dog was there, my friends were there, you ruined my life, yeah! Like, she sounded a little bit, I mean, hey, you've raised
a
teenage girl.
Yeah, they did a little, but you know what? It's not wrong either. And but you know what? It actually makes sense, because guess what? She's a teenager.
Yeah, I guess that's what they would care about. I mean, one of my objections is that they haven't let Maddie be, I mean, they regressed Maddie to, like, this normal, helpless teenager where she was a commander and she still has the memories of all the commanders, and yet somehow she's, like, this helpless little teenager who can't fight anymore or anything. But you're right. Clark, like, you know, Clark continues to do everything in the name of Maddie. I did it for Maddie. I had to pick Maddie. Like, she has slaughtered a lot of people and done a lot of other things, and, like, I did it for Maddie is always the excuse for, like, horrific violence and, like, Clark's unilateral decisions for the entire group. We've talked about this. She's the new Abby, right? She makes unilateral decisions based on her daughter. Yeah. And you're right, Maddie. I mean, it was good seeing her told off. And Maddie, you know, while I think that Maddie is a bit of a MacGuffin at this point, where she's just this thing that both sides want to possess.
Yeah,
and she could be a, you know, I mean, she could be the flame in a box, but instead she's the child Maddie, and it's kind of dumb, but she does, you know, go, I mean, she finally takes some action, like, shows some agency, and is like, whatever, I'm going to do this, right?
And you know what's ironic about Maddie, you know, with her decision to give herself up, she actually does something that Clark used to do, and that's she made a decision based on the good of everyone and not one person.
Yeah, which Clark used to do, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, the way, you know, when they decided to make Clark a mother, they kind of took that away from her and made her this incredibly, like, you know, one, like, narrow-sighted and, I mean, there's some ways in which this show is not a good example of motherhood. Like, Maddie, Abby. Abby's a terrible example of being a mother. Like, this show kind of is like, you can't be a mother and be the leader, right? But then we had this example of Dioza and Octavia mothering Hope, which was a totally different kind of, and you know, in one flashback episode, I learned so much more than I did from seasons and seasons of Abby and Clark.
Yeah. Well, you know what's actually funny? And this is, I think, ironic that Dioza and Octavia are better mothers than Abby and Clark. Because while, yes, they were trying to protect Hope and they sacrificed themselves for Hope, they didn't get anybody else killed in the process. You know?
Yeah.
They didn't have mass genocides because of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, hell, Dioza, I mean, not that I gave a shit about Dioza, but Dioza sacrificed herself for the greater good at the end. You know, when she, you know, she gave her own life for it, which.
Yeah.
I was glad Dioza was gone, but.
I have too.
But yeah, so here we have Clark.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say if there was any other good part, like, I can't, like, any scene that Murphy is in is pretty much better than the whole rest of the show, because, right? I mean, I love Richard Harmon, and I think we've both always loved Murphy, even when he was, like, the bad guy in seasons 1 and 2 and whatever, right? But he is one of the few characters who's had a really great growth arc over 7 seasons. And mm-hmm. like what the person he is now, like I totally know who that person is and where he came from.
Yep.
Unlike the person like almost everyone else is right now, right?
Well, like I was saying before earlier when we were waiting for Jamie about how only 2 people are who they should be at this juncture, and that's Murphy and Raven. I think Raven, you know, is the only other one that hasn't drastically changed who she is, and the person she is makes sense from her growth also. Everybody else is completely wrong. Everybody else makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I mean, except for certain people like Indra, right?
Indra's good. So.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Give me 1 second here. Maybe that did it. Got the tickle out. I think that I feel like the show really has done Octavia wrong. Partly by not allowing her to really even mostly be in the last 2 seasons that much compared to how she used to be. I mean, she's been in it, but you know what I mean. And the way she's behaved and the way she behaved in this episode. The biggest complaint, and let's get right to it, our biggest complaint was this episode confirmed that Bellamy died for nothing. Because not only did Cadogan get the book within the first scene almost, right, or first 2 scenes, he gets the book, but there's no fallout for Clark. Like, everyone forgives Clark within, like, 1 sentence. As soon as she says it, they're like, whatever, fine. And Clark appears to not be struggling with it herself, even. Like,
nope.
This should have happened. If this had to happen, it should have happened weeks and weeks ago, and we could have seen weeks and weeks of the fallout.
Yes.
How did you feel about
that
opening?
I knew it. I knew exactly how it was going to play out. I thought there was a possibility, and they even gave a little bit of the suspense because Echo didn't answer right away. But I knew Octavia was going to be instantaneous, and I knew Echo was going to eventually follow suit. Because guess what? There's only 2 episodes left, and there's no time to actually have a coherent storyline about this. Because if they were mad at her and they were okay by the finale, it's too quick then. Then we'd be complaining that they rushed the story arc. So they just threw the story arc away. So, you know, like I started to say last week, I feel like Bellamy's story was written and dictated by Bob Morley telling them, I want time off. And I honestly, personally, I don't think this is the story that they were originally maybe going to have for Bellamy, and this is what they wrote because of it.
I don't know. You know.
But it really, if everything is so bad, who knows?
I mean, if his death was driving at the 3 lead women hug, or like in the first scene, right? Like Clark's like, I shot him.
Yeah.
Clark's like, I tried everything, which is total bullshit. She didn't try anything. She tried for like 20 seconds to talk him out of it, and then she shot him. She didn't try anything at all.
Yeah, she didn't have to kill him.
She didn't have to kill him. She didn't get the book in the end. And, you know, I can't believe, like, how many times have Octavia and Bellamy gone to like such great lengths to save each other? Okay, except for that one time that Bellamy was maybe going to kill Octavia, but... and I'm sorry, wasn't it only a couple of days ago that Echo was going to commit genocide to avenge Bellamy? She was going to put the reason Dioza died, it was Echo first who was going to do it before Hope, right? Like, Echo was going to kill all those people on Bardo over Bellamy. It was because of Bellamy.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh, we lost Bellamy a long time ago. Like, to them, Bellamy's only been gone for, like, a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. And you know what's really funny? we just Hope in that episode that you're talking about, a little before that, a line where she says to Echo, she says, "How does it make three of the strongest, you know, all these strong women care so much about this one man?"
Yeah.
And now it doesn't seem like any of them give two shits about him.
No. You know, they made no effort to try to, like, kidnap him and deprogram him, decultify him, or they made no effort to really understand. And then all of a sudden, Echo gives this big speech like, he needed to make sense of the violence, and Cadogan gave him a sense, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait, you didn't, like, now you understand it? Like, the whole time you were in Bardo, you were like, Bellamy betrayed us, Bellamy betrayed us. And now you're like, he had a good heart, and he needed to make sense of it, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Like, I have whiplash from that, right? Like,
yeah.
The writers are dropping the
worse?
Shit in there. What?
Uh-huh. You know what makes it worse is Clark killed Bellamy, as far as I'm concerned, very easily without much thought about it or much struggle. She killed Bellamy. Yet Indra has Shane Hayda dead to rights for the third time. And
oh, my God.
Kill him because he's bleeding out. And what happens? He comes back to fight you. So what they're showing me is you spare your enemies and kill your friends.
So I want to talk about that Shane Hayda stuff, but back to Bellamy. So there was one other part of this episode that made me even 100 times more pissed off about Bellamy. So you know what it was. You know what it was, right? Gabriel got Bellamy's death.
Oh, God.
Right?
I forgot about Gabriel. I was so glad he was gone.
Gabriel dies a hero with everyone crying around him and saying goodbye to him, right? Gabriel, who just appeared last season. I mean, he's an okay character. I don't really like him that much, but
I don't mind him. I don't mind him one way or the other.
But he showed up two seasons ago, and he gets this hero's death saving Maddie, and everyone's crying, and Octavia, who met him like 5 minutes ago, is like praying over his body, you know, and
yeah, your fight is over.
Right? Meanwhile, Bellamy, like, he just got shot and Clark bloops away and that's it. Like, nobody, and then they forget, nobody mourned Bellamy at all in this episode. Like, Octavia and Echo, okay, Echo did a little when Echo was like, oh, I never told him my name and blah, blah, blah. But that, to me, was more of a scene between her and Nyla about, like, I don't feel like nobody even mourned Bellamy in this episode. Granted, there was a lot of shit going on this episode, but I was pissed about Gabriel's death. It made me mad because I felt like that should have been Bellamy's death. How hard would it be to write that for Bellamy?
Yeah. Because they ruined Bellamy.
Right? Oh, they did ruin Bellamy. They ruined Bellamy a long time ago.
I'm so aggravated with this show. I'm going to say something that probably isn't true, but it could be because of all the hoopla over when Lincoln left and the actor and all the backstage drama that leaked after the fact and everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Rothenberg was pissed at Bob Morley for asking for time off. And so he's like, fine, you want time off? I'm going to ruin your character and give you an unsatisfying death.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and then Gabriel gets a good, for putting up with this, gets a good ending. Although I did read a review. It might have been, so I want to give credit, and I think it might have been to Entertainment Weekly, or it might have been Hypeable, I think. That was like when Gabriel's like, oh, that's okay, I've been alive for 200 years, that's fine, I'm ready to die, because he can't take any more of this ridiculous storyline anymore. He just wants to get out of there. So I want to talk about Shane Hayda, but can we talk about the fact that they wound up on Earth? Like,
well, we knew it was going to happen.
We called that. You called it first. You called it first, really, but we all called it like many, many, many weeks ago, right? So they're on Earth. Nobody comments on. So I think it's
oh, I know
Murphy who says Earth is back. Like, there's trees like Earth got wiped out by Prime File last we saw, right? And they bloop into Earth and they're like in the middle of like the giant redwood forest, and they're like, oh, look, Earth, you know, Murphy's like, Earth is back, and
it's
then they just go
years.
About their business.
It's been 100 years. What is it with Earth being okay? After nuclear holocaust twice, it just takes 100 years, and then Earth is fine.
Right. I mean, based on the woods they were in, that's like a serious old-growth forest. That's like the forest they landed in. Like, is it the future or is it the past? Because that forest is hundreds of years old.
No, that's
right?
The present. Well, it's the present. It's 100 years since they left.
Oh, because they flew around for 100 years. They were 75 years, 100 years in cryo,
yeah, remember,
right?
They were in cryo. Yeah.
Oh, so that explains why.
You
I mean,
that
does look like more than a... Okay, that looks like more... I did forget about that, so thank you. It does look like more than a 100-year-old forest, but whatever. You're right.
That's still too quick. I'm sorry.
Right?
Mother
it was
Earth,
a nuclear
I
annihilation.
I gave Mother Earth a lot of credit for her rejuvenation abilities, but it's only been 100 years. It doesn't...
Well, and if you remember, I think in, like, episode one... When the kids go down to the
planet.
Have you
ever heard of a little place called Chernobyl?
Yeah. But I think I think in season one, AJ, the Ark had been in space for about 100 years.
Yeah.
And they sent the kids and they thought, okay, you might be able to live with the radiation, but they really thought they would die. They really thought Earth was unlivable when they sent those kids down, right? Yeah. I can't, it's hard to believe that Earth would be so totally, like, rejuvenated, and none of them says anything. None of them is like, holy cow, remember the nuclear, well, there was Prime Fire, and then, like, 5 years later, there was the nuclear holocaust that they started with Allegis, right? There were two gigantic, devastating events.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, it makes no sense, right? It makes no sense. No, because the show makes no sense. Like, those trees, how did those trees grow that tall and that fat and all that moss and that old that quickly, right? Like,
if they wanted
like,
to make sense, it should have been a lot longer.
And nobody mentions it. Like, no one says, like, what's up with Earth? Everything looks great. And you know, I mean, Nyla does say, there's no way we lived in this bunker for 6 years and we didn't know there was a stone here. But then Raven's like, oh, yeah, it's 100 feet away. Although it makes no sense that Raven's like, it's 100 feet away, and then later in the episode, she puts on a different helmet, and she's like, I can't find it. I don't know where it is. I can't see it. Like, what?
Well, it's because the helmet was damaged. It was Shade Hada's helmet, but it got damaged in the fight.
Yeah. So, Shade Hada, I cannot believe.
I just learned something really... Something I really enjoyed, something else that I actually liked in the episode was when Raven and Amori are trying to fix the helmet, and John's like, what's taking so long? And Raven turns around and goes, miracles take time.
Yeah. I do, you know, I would watch a show that was just those two. Like, they're two of the best characters, really.
And Amori's pretty good, too. I mean, Amori hasn't been around as long as the rest of them for them to screw her up.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's been around now since Jaha days. Like, she's been around since City of Light. So she's, you know, feels like more of
a... Yeah, she has, hasn't she? Wow.
Yeah.
I forget how long she's been around. Wow.
Yeah. She's like City of Light era. That's like a season 3 character. Mm-hmm. So she's been around a long time now. Yeah.
So
all right, let's. I cannot believe that he is still like the big bad kind of person of this show. I think he more and more is a cartoon character week after week after week, and this episode was everyone around him behaving like idiots. Like, the writers just decided to make the characters be dumb so Shade Hada could be in this episode. Like, every character acted so dumb, right? Right? Like, including Katigan.
I thought we were going to lose Gaia. I thought for sure she was done when her and Indra were fighting Shade Hada. I thought Gaia was toast.
Yeah. Yeah. I did think she was. And then she gets that, you know, she gets that big line where they rip off Lord of the Rings and she says, I am no man, or whatever she says, right? She says, I am no man, which I mean, the show does have sort of a big Lord of the Rings thing kind of going on, but
yeah.
And then they just ripped off Game of Thrones like 6 weeks ago with Maddie. Like, the show is really getting like overtly, I don't know if it's like overt homage or overt laziness. I mean,
at this stage, I gotta say it could be either. It could be just overtly homage, or it could just be overtly, we don't know what the fuck we're doing, so we need to fill things in and use other people's stuff because we have no idea.
Yeah. Yep. So, Shade Hayda, can I ask you a question? I really don't understand
this,
and please tell me what I don't understand or if it's just bad writing. So, Maddie and the sketchbook, right? Maddie has the memories of the commanders in her head or whatever. If you have Shade Hayda, do you need, like, doesn't Shade Hayda have also the memories of all the commanders in his head? And you have a machine that extracts memories. Like, why does Cadogan even need Maddie? Can't you just torture Shade Hayda?
Karen, that is an excellent question that I had not considered.
Oh, no?
I never thought of that.
Because we just don't
even
think anymore, because the show is so bad that you have to turn off your brain while you watch it.
Well, you know what? The fact that they haven't even addressed that fact is, you know, I mean, I can't even think of an excuse to give them. Like,
right.
Maybe
I mean, Shade Hayda should have all the memories also,
and,
right?
I mean, because the information that he needs is from Becca. And Becca being the first commander.
Yeah.
You know, was. Actually, no. Becca wasn't the most dependent on how you look at it because they retconned their own damn show. Becca was the first commander. And then when we see back, she was the first one with the fame, but she wasn't a commander. Hell,
yeah.
Most people didn't even know about her.
Yeah. And, like, Russell didn't have the actual flame in his head, but he has a neural network, like everybody else does.
Yeah. But he had the flame at one point, which means he should have backup memories and know how to activate the stone. Hell, he should know about the stone and not be so surprised about it. Karen,
yes.
You just got
and
me
like,
even madder. Thank you.
Right? And like, the shepherd has him restrained in that, like, MCAP machine where he could totally, like, torture him and extract his memories. And he's like, oh, I'll cut a deal with this shady, lying sack of shit, violent person to go get Maddie for me. I thought that he gave in so quickly also. Like the shepherd's like, we're going to transcend and blah, blah, blah. And Shade's like, what a bunch of bullshit. And then Cadogan's like, guess what? You'll die too. And she's just like, oh, okay. Like, what? Like, the way he just gave in was like, it just made no sense, right?
And the only thing I can think of is Maddie, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how long Shade Hayda was the commander before they overthrew him. But then Maddie wasn't that long either, and she really integrated with the other commanders. Because you think about it, I mean, anybody, and technically speaking, anybody that's had the flame in their head should have this knowledge.
Yeah.
Technically speaking. I
mean,
it's
a thing that evolved, like, that clearly they just kind of made up, because we didn't really see it with Lexa. We didn't really see it with Clark. We didn't really, right? We didn't really see it with other commanders. And then Maddie had all this.
We didn't see it with Lexa, but they did talk about it with Lexa. There were
They talked about, they talked about having the knowledge of all the commanders.
Lexa's the one that told us that Becca was the first commander.
Yeah. And Maddie had the flame for like two seasons, right? Like, Maddie had the flame for a decent amount of time, longer than Clark. And you're right, we don't know how long Shade Hayda had it. But Maddie didn't have it that long. Shade Hayda might have had it longer, considering that he had a big reign of terror, right?
But it seems like Maddie had it to the point where she knows everything. Like, she was really connected with it for some reason, to the point where she drew all these, you know, her sketchbook. Even after the flame was taken out, she was still drawing pictures from her memories.
Yeah, so, which means Shade Hayda should totally have those memories. That is the biggest plot hole to me in the Shane Hayter story, but there was so much of it this week. How about the fact that everyone acted like they didn't know that people can be invisible? Like, everyone, like, okay, so, right?
I actually forgot.
Like, he's walking around, like, 1 inch behind Clark and Octavia, being like, I'm invisible, hee, hee, hee. And they, like, they totally know, like, Octavia's been invisible. Like, they know that people can be invisible. And they just run around with their chickens with their heads cut off, and they're all like, oh, Maddie's in the rec room with Gabriel. Let's go get her. And Shady Hayter's like, what? Like,
yeah.
How could they forget that their enemies are invisible?
Well, it's actually funny because I forgot for a minute because it's been a minute since we've seen so many invisible. Because when Shane Hayter first came through the hole, the wormhole, I was like, that's weird. Nobody came through. And then as soon as they showed him, I went, oh, my God, he's invisible. I'm an idiot. That's like,
I mean, it's
sun.
Also kind of dumb.
I totally forgot about
also,
the red sun.
Yeah. It's also, the red sun. We talked about that last week. We forgot about that. It's kind of dumb that Shane Hayter is an expert helmet operator within, like, he's only been wearing a helmet for 2 minutes. And he, like, totally,
you know,
so
was
like,
Raven.
I know, but Raven's
actually
a genius. Raven's an established genius.
Yeah, but they also
a technological
genius.
But then
again, actually, I take that back. Raven did not figure it out as quickly as far as time. Like, we saw her struggles, and we saw her trying things and screwing things up. Whereas Shane Hayter puts it on, and he's like, yeah, this is fun.
And considering that Shane Hayter is from, like, a pre-technological, like, except for the flame,
I was just
all the
say
ground
that.
Is tech, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Shane Hayter doesn't even know tech.
Yeah.
And he figured it out
and
quicker
like,
than Raven.
Yeah. So all that was dumped. Everybody's running around like maniacs, screaming. Like, they were all acting hysterical and, like, having no recognition that their enemy is invisible. I mean, everything was so dumb. How about those stupid pills that Shane Hayter's like, they gave me these pills to take in case I want to go back, or I could stab myself in the stomach. Like, they just invented that for this episode. Those green pills never exist.
Yeah.
You remember the first time we saw Hope, she stabbed Octavia in the stomach with that thing, with that knife, the magic knife, right?
Yep.
And all of a sudden in this episode, they're like, let's have some magic pills so we can have some stupid, like, Maddie story. Like, everything that they wrote in this episode, they just totally made a bunch of shit up this episode.
Well, that's because they wanted to pay homage to the Matrix also.
Probably. Yeah.
Here's some pills. Take this pill.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right.
And one more thing about him. I can't take credit for this, but multiple comment threads on multiple websites that I visited, people were like, what's with that giant tattoo? He never had a tattoo. And then suddenly in this episode, like, he took some time to get an enormous tattoo.
Shane
Hayter had that.
I
he never had
that
tattoo
new.
Before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right.
I didn't.
Like,
yeah,
I didn't.
You know, I thought something about that, but I was just like, you know, I cared so little that I just was like, maybe I didn't notice it.
Yeah. Lots of Twitterers, lots of Redditors, lots of people were like, so he just got a tattoo last week? Yeah, like, they're just so sloppy now with just trying to make Shane Hayter more and more. I mean, he really is sort of like evil Captain Jack Sparrow, in my opinion, right? With the hair and the makeup and the tattoos appearing, and he's a clown. He's a cartoonish clown, right? He's not even, like, frightening anymore.
No, he's just annoying. Especially all
the
opportunities they've had to kill him and chose not to. Like, and not even, like,
yeah.
They just went about it. Like, they chose not to kill him. Like, they said, hey, let's kill him. And they said, that's all right.
Yeah.
And especially in this culture that they live in, where the death penalty clearly exists in their little community. Like, killing people is not off the board. People walk around killing people all the time. And
all the time,
the most dangerous person, the most dangerous person to the utopia you want to build gets to live.
Yeah.
You know, at least on the Walking Dead, when they let Negan live, it made sense because they were trying. That was the first moment they were trying to stop the killing, and they put him in a cage that he could not get out of. Shade Hata,
yeah,
they just kind of let him walk around and manipulate shit and let him have any visitors
they
you want.
Do. And I just feel like every time Indra doesn't kill him, they're diminishing her superpower as a badass fighter. She should have killed him the first time, or the second time, or the third time. I mean, how can Indra and Gaia not be able to kill him? It's just so dumb.
Well, you know, I mean, like, and it's like, you know, Indra keeps doing things out of honor, but yet Shade Hata immediately, you give, you know, Indra doesn't do something because out of honor, you know, you can't, I'm not going to, you know, I'll bow to you if you don't kill Maddie. As soon as she bows, the first thing he says is find the kid and kill her. After he just agreed not to kill her. So clearly he doesn't care about honor, so why the hell should he?
No. Well, enough with the sword fighting. Can someone just get a gun and just shoot him? I mean,
the only person I think that has a gun. Oh no! Well, Indra gave away her gun to.
Well, Clark shot Bellamy, so Clark had a gun. Clark came through the bridge with a gun in her hand.
Yeah, I know. And what's his face had a gun.
Jackson.
Shit. No, Miller. Miller had a gun.
Miller. Jackson Miller finally had a little bit of sexy time this week.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
it
wasn't really sexy time. It was post-sex,
you know what that whole scene was? That was Miller, you know, crying about, I never had a chance to forgive Bellamy the way he forgave me. Really? I'm sorry, but the Bellamy ship has sailed. Let's just be over it.
Yeah, that was the only mourning. That was the only mourning for Bellamy, and
and Miller gets
characters, but the women don't care, and they're the stars.
Yeah. It's just whatever. All right, we should probably move on to the show because.
Oh, but before we, so I do want to say I don't, as much as we hated this episode, we hated the writing. This episode was directed by Jessica Harmon, who plays Nyla. And her brother is Richard Harmon. And Jessica Nyla, apparently, so I read that I think maybe she's directed a couple other little things. I don't know, but she directed this episode. And there was some good direction. It's not her fault that the fight scenes are shitty. She's not the fight choreographer, and she's not the editor. And, you know, I think the scenes that we liked, let's give credit to Jessica Harmon for directing a nice scene between, like, Indra and Octavia and that stuff.
It's not you know, I feel like we have to say this every week, but the acting is good. You know, what they're giving us is believable from the emotion of the character, of the actors. The problem is the writing. They're doing the best they
Jason
can.
Jason Rothenberg.
The
problem is the showrunner, Jason Rothenberg.
And you know, as far as, even like you just said about the fight scene, there was nothing wrong with the fight scene. The fight scene was perfectly fine. It's just, that's what they were told to do. You know what I mean? Like
They're like, have a stupid fight where Shade Hata lives.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Frustrating.
Yeah.
All right. We got two more episodes. Two more episodes of people listening to us whine and complain, and then we'll hopefully move on. But now let's talk about a show that we really like. This was a weird episode.
Oh,
what did you think?
I loved it. It was amazing. That has got to be, hands down, the craziest sex scene I've ever seen in my life. Holy crap.
It was horrifying.
That was, but you know what? Let's preface this conversation. I don't know if you Googled, but I Googled. And so this Jiha, she's a shapeshifter called a
Gumiho.
Gumiho. And a Gumiho is a fox that lives for 1,000 years and then turns into a Gumiho, which is a shapeshifter. And it started as, they call it different things in China and Japan. They have other names for it. But Korea, this is the Korean name because obviously they were in Korea during the Korean War. And this Gumiho, this is the Korean folklore about it. And I guess it wasn't always sinister, but over time the story has become to where it's an evil entity. And it has 9 tails, as we saw, you know, 2 from the eyes, 1
yeah.
from each ear, 1 from each nostril, the mouth, the anus, and depending on the shape-shifting form, the genitalia of a man or a woman.
Yeah.
To
mm-hmm.
give you 9 tails, and then blow people up during sex.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So I agree with you, especially particularly as a standalone episode. It's an incredible episode. It does feed into Atticus's backstory. I don't mean it's standalone, but you know what I mean? Like episode,
yeah.
It's incredible. The way it fits into the overall storyline. I mean, we can talk about that. It does open up the universe of the show dramatically, and the utter coincidence that Atticus would run into a Kumiho is kind of crazy, right? Like, that this guy who is sort of surrounded by witchcraft. But as a standalone, as an episode of television, it was great, and I gotta say, I think a huge credit has to be given to the lead actress, whose name is Jamie Chung, I think is her name, right?
Yeah.
She was amazing. I mean, so much of it is hung up, like almost the whole episode is in Korean, dubbed in English. I mean, subtitled in English.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least half of it, right? And she is so compelling. Like I found myself. I mean, you know, it's good when I found myself not looking at the subtitles. I'm just watching her act and talk. And then there were times I was like, wait, what did she just say? What did she just say? Huge credit is due to her, I think. I think she was incredible.
I agree.
I mean, Atticus doesn't appear till like halfway through the episode. It's all her.
It was more than that. The first 3 quarters of the episode was all her.
I mean, it really was
agree.
About her. It wasn't even really about Tick. It was, I mean, Tick was almost like a side player in this episode, right? I mean, it does advance his storyline, but he really, I mean, it was her story, and it was sad. It was sad.
Yeah. I think it really speaks volume about what an amazing show this is. The fact that the most we've had about her is we've seen Tick on the phone twice with her. Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about her. You know, we don't know anything. We knew her name. That was it. So to be introduced to a character that up until, you know, the last quarter of the episode has nothing to do with anything we've seen up to this point. Like you said, it's completely standalone as far as her story goes. And I was enthralled the entire episode, you know. I mean, if this was just, you know, if this was like an episode, you know, a TV show, like something like Black Mirror, where it's an anthology and every episode is different, it has nothing, you know, none of the stories have anything to do with each other. It was just a really good episode of whatever, you know. I mean, I was just enthralled the whole time. I'm like, you know, I mean, you start out with this, you know, crazy ass sex scene where these tails come out of her mouth and they go into the, and she sees this person's memories, and then he just blows up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And just the conversations with her, between her and her mother, and, you know, and finding out that she's, you know, that she's a shapeshifter and she's not really her daughter and she's like this revenge plot, you know? I mean, just the whole thing. And I got to say, I think the fact that the entire episode was in Korean made it even better,
yeah.
Simply because a lot of times I watch TV, even if I'm enjoying the show, I'm still going to, from time to time, I'll look down at my phone or I'll, you know, do this or do that or whatever. My eyes were glued to the TV the whole time because I need to read the subtitles. So I never missed anything. And it was, I mean, my face, I wish I had a picture. I know my face, I must have had the strangest look on my face after those tails came out and he blew up. I know for a fact that I like kind of like tilted my head and my jaw dropped open and I just like, had this squinty stare at the TV. I mean, the look on my face must have been priceless. Because
yeah.
I was just like,
Oh, yeah.
Hell.
We never saw that coming. I was like, what? What the?
No.
And props to James Kyson. No. Did you recognize James Kyson, the actor who gets tailified to death?
Yeah.
You recognized him, right?
Yep.
I mean, James Kyson's been in everything, but we know him best from Heroes.
Yeah.
He played Ando on Heroes. It was, another thing that was amazing about this episode. I mean, there's so many amazing things, but this was really female-driven. Not just female-driven. I mean, mm-hmm. there are not that many men in this episode. And aside from Tick, they're all incidental side people who exist to either humiliate Jihei to right? Jihei, is that her name? No, Jihei is the friend.
Yeah.
Right? Jihei. I mean, the men, like, mostly her... Mostly, you know, she's, like, trying to find men. She's getting turned down. She's getting humiliated. She's getting these racist kind of comments all the time. Like, all the men are jerks, really, including Tick. It's not a good portrait of Tick in this episode. It's hard to feel a lot of sympathy for him.
He's also it's also a war, you know, and he's a soldier,
yes,
and you follow orders, and he's a black soldier
in
the time of racism. Now,
I'm just saying a soldier's duty is to defy an immoral order and whatever. I mean, he didn't just shoot that woman in cold blood. We saw at the end when she's absorbing his soul, we see him pulling her teeth out. He's torturing her.
Yeah.
But this episode really centers on the relationship between Jiha and Uma, her mother, is really the core of the episode, right? It's all women. It was just so great to see, you know, this episode, show that, I don't know. I just love seeing like a really woman driven episode and their relationships. And there was a lot of similarity. Like, I think we carried over a little bit of what we saw last week was kind of about metamorphosis and being who you are. And certainly that was Jiha's problem, like being who she is and who even was she. Like, she's not even like a real person. And like,
with Tick, she actually felt for the first time ever.
Yeah.
But then her true nature came through and she almost killed him.
She almost killed him and she couldn't,
So that, let me ask, I'm going to just jump right to that. So why do you think she saw his future? I mean, she saw his past also, but why do you think it jumped and showed her his future? Is that because A, she didn't finish the ritual, or B, because of who he is?
Well, that's a good question, because she had never not finished the ritual before, right? Like, maybe they all just, she didn't fight it. But it could be that he has magical blood, right? Like, he didn't know it at the time, and we still don't really know what it means, but he's descended from a magical bloodline. So that could be it. Or it could be that he's sort of like a chosen one, right? Like, we don't really know what Tick. I mean, he's like a chosen one, kind of, right? We don't really know.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, who knows? But the shaman seems to know that. I didn't think the shaman would be a woman, but she was at the end. And the shaman's like, you haven't seen the end of this, and you're going to witness a lot more death or whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if that woman turns up in Chicago. Like, she saw him buying a bus ticket to Chicago, like, which I remember in her vision of his memories, which maybe she'll show up in Chicago. I don't know. I feel like there was way too much in this episode for us not to see her again, right?
Yeah, I definitely, especially since he keeps talking to her on the phone and everything. And last week's episode ends with him calling her saying, how did you know? Because whatever he was doing, and says about him dying.
Well, he saw die, and now we know she had said, you're going to die. Don't go home. You'll die if you go home. And then we saw in the flash forward, he looks like he's strapped into a chair or something. But she, I wonder if she'll come to help him I mean, it's funny because we've seen him call her twice, and I mean, so he was in love with her, and I guess when he made those calls, it's never really been clear if he was still in love with her. And he maybe was. I mean, he's in love with Letty now, I think, but he could still, I don't know. Like, are we going to get some problem there? I don't know. I mean, so I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, I mean, this show week after week also is about racism and, like, whiteness and people of color and stuff. And this week had, like, a totally different kind of racism that we maybe weren't expecting from this show, right? Like, because it's been sort of like white superiority until now.
Right.
And we saw this kind of, I mean, everybody was, you know, like the white soldiers were really racist against Koreans. And then, you know, we heard Tick and a Korean friend talk about racism in America. And it was kind of interesting how Jiha, being Korean, it never occurred to her, like, she was like, what? Wait, what? And they were like, yeah, America's totally racist. Like, we're, you know, and she was like, why didn't you move home, Korean guy? And he's like, are you kidding? Everybody's, like, really, like, racist to me here also. I don't fit in. It was kind of an interesting take on it. Although it was really less violent and overt than what we've seen in the American scenes, right? That reminded me of one thing I wanted to ask you, and I thought of it. Oh, so I have never read The Count of Monte Cristo. Have you ever read it?
Yes.
That book, have you?
Yes, I have.
So the book figured big in this episode. I had to Google it to get the storyline. I mean, is it symbolic or is it just a book, like, in this episode? Like, it's a story about revenge mostly, right, I think? I haven't read it. Nor have I seen the film.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second time they've used The Count of Monte Cristo. I mean, it's Montrose's favorite book. It played a part in when they were in Arden, and he escaped from his cell, and and that's how they figured out how he escaped and where he'd come out. So, you know, and like he told Jiha, he told, you know, she rattles off the end of the movie, and he's like, haha. He's like, the movie, they changed the ending to make it more appeasing to people. They don't get together in the end, you know? So,
yeah.
A couple things. You know, there's the whole revenge.
Yeah, I think it is.
And then the fact that they don't end up together. You know, so it was definitely symbolic.
Oh, yeah, the fact that they don't end up together, like, it foreshadows that Jihan Tick don't end up together.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it, but you're saying now they brought it up twice, and, you know, they mentioned again it's Montrose's favorite book. Like, does this book have more to tell us about where the show is going? I don't know. So it's about a guy who is, this is what I think it's about, a guy who was sent to jail falsely, and he gets out of jail and gets really rich and then seeks revenge against the three guys who put him in jail.
Right.
I think, right? So,
yes.
I mean, so the revenge plot is not really, I mean, so in this episode, the revenge plot was pretty clear. It was the mother had summoned the Kumiho to seek revenge for her daughter.
Right.
Although it turned out she was kind of guilty, right? Like, in the end, it appears like she kind of knew what was going on and turned the other cheek for a while.
Well, I think...
turned her head for a while.
She felt guilty. Well, I think she felt guilty towards the end because the whole time... Because the Kumiho, she became a character. She became a person to her. She kept telling her, you're not even real. You can't feel anything. But with Tick, she was feeling things. So I think there was a part of her that kind of felt bad, you know, the way she was treating her, even though she was there for a purpose, you know, because she kind of got humanized to the mother as the episode went on, you know?
Well, there's also that moment where, you know, she's like, you totally knew he was abusing me. Like, you, it was more like, you knew he was like this, and it was more important to you to live in a certain way, and you allowed this to go on for a while under your nose. But, right?
Yeah,
I mean, she definitely accuses her mother of allowing the abuse to happen for at least a portion of time.
Yeah.
So the revenge is a little, I don't know, the idea of this revenge plot. I mean, all, you know, if we consider Christina, is she seeking revenge? I don't know. Is Ruby seeking revenge? But I don't know. I'm just wondering about this book, and am I thinking too much about it? Given that it's not even
science
fiction.
I think you're thinking too much about it.
Okay.
I think literature in this show, while there is some characteristics of the episode, I think literature in this show is a lot like Lost.
Where every week Sawyer read a book and we went down the rabbit hole, and in the end it was just a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we've about anything else. There was not that much muse. So all the music was Judy Garland show tunes, pretty much, in this episode.
Yeah.
I love the spoken word. Like, I think this show does spoken word really well. And at the end, the spoken word was like an actual. That was Judy Garland talking, right? That was Judy Garland,
yeah.
A recording of Judy Garland's voice, which was cool. But the music was not that much to speak of this week. So did you see the promo for next week?
No, I did not.
So it's a Hippolyta episode. Remember when we last saw Aunt Hippolyta and Diana, she was like, I'm going to go to Massachusetts and see what was going on up there. So
right.
All the promo, the promo was like, Letty's like, really, if she's going there, she's in danger. And then there's a couple shots of Hippolyta with the orrery, or I can't even say it, the solar system, the orrery.
Yeah.
So it's like a total Hippolyta week next week. So that should be awesome. Like, that's getting back into the core mystery, right? That should be cool.
Yeah, especially since it's been, you know, and I hadn't even thought about it, but it's because it's been 2 weeks since we've seen them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be good to get back to that, especially with, you know, again, not that many weeks.
So, all right.
So, I guess that's about it. I wanted to mention one thing while we're talking about HBO, with all these HBO shows. Watchmen. So, you know, Watchmen was never renewed for a second season. And I read that
right.
HBO has gone back and they went, like, for the Emmys or whatever, they went back and reclassified Watchmen as a limited series. So, they didn't, that's not a full confirmation of no second, but it's actually sort of like confirming no second season, right?
It was always, I mean, whenever you heard Lindelof talk about it, he always said it was a limited series, and he, you know, went as far as to say if HBO decides they want to do a second season, I'm not involved. You know,
yeah.
He did what he wanted to do, and that was that. So.
I think it's a great decision. I think it's a pretty fantastic season of television that really can't maybe be improved by a second season.
And you know what?
Different team.
We never talked about it, but when Artie and I we watched the final episode, as soon as you see her at the pool, I was like, she's gonna walk around and she's gonna go to step in the pool, and that's where the show is gonna end. And sure enough, that's what happened. He's like, how? He's like, why would you think that? How do you? He's like, I hate you. How do you know that?
You're like, oh, I've been doing this so much longer
obvious.
Than you have already. Yeah.
It's because it's obvious.
Yeah.
So.
So. All right. So next week we'll have the same slate of only three shows.
Yep.
All right. So we'll do it again and get that much closer to the end of certain things.
Yeah. And I was actually excited tonight because I was like, okay, that was episode 6. I'm like, I can never remember, different shows, how many episodes different shows have. And I was like, is it 8 or 10? And I was very excited when I saw there's 10 episodes of Lovecraft and only 2 episodes left of the 100. Thank God.
That's right. That's right. And by then, some new things should have come around. So, great. All right.
All right.
Well, you have a good week. We'll be back soon.
You too.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
For listening to Unravel. And like we've been saying, we'll do it again next week.
Good night. All right. See ya.